Good afternoon, everybody. You're tuned to 103.2 Dublin City FM, and this is Europe Today with your presenters for this week, Carmel O'Donoghue and myself, John Bourne. Coming up on the programme this week, we have extracts from the recent press statement by new President of the European Council, Donald Tusk, and NATO Secretary General, Jens Stoltenberg, who met in Brussels yesterday to discuss the Russian destabilisation of the Ukraine. We'll also be hearing a statement from UNICEF's Deputy Executive Director, Yoga Brandt, about the EU's effort to promote and protect the rights of children, especially those affected by armed conflict. Carmel has our usual report on European issues, and we'll have some music from the Netherlands for your enjoyment as well. So stay tuned to us here on 103.2 Dublin City FM for the next half an hour and your programme Europe Today. The government has yet to ratify an international convention designed to better protect women who are victims of violence, including domestic violence. The Fine Gael MEP, Deirdre Clune, says the government needs to ratify the Istanbul Convention as soon as possible. She brought up the topic of violence against women in the European Parliament this week. The Istanbul Convention, which was established in 2011, is designed to provide a series of measures to combat violence against women. Ms. Clune says she's been in touch with the Minister for Justice to find out why it hasn't yet been ratified by Ireland.
It will ensure that the services that are there at the moment will be enhanced and will be put on a statutory basis to ensure that women who are victims of violence can be protected and they will have the proper services from the state in terms of counselling, in terms of protection, in terms of services for their children, in terms of housing facilities. They will be put in place. And it's as a modern nation, it's something we do need to do and to address, because it is an issue and it's a silent issue for many people.
The European Parliament recently rejected a motion of censure against the EU Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker and his team. 76 MEPs put forward the motion of no confidence against Mr. Juncker because of the allegations that emerged from the so-called Lux leaks. They were to do with recent media investigations into alleged secret tax deals between Luxembourg and international corporations. Mr. Juncker was Luxembourg's Prime Minister during the years these deals were done. The Sinn Féin MEP Matt Carty says he has little confidence in Mr. Juncker.
I don't have confidence in Jean-Claude Juncker to bring about the change in direction that Europe clearly needs, in my view. I do think that he has serious questions to answer, and I do think that we were right from the outset in opposing his candidature, because I believe that he is very much an inside man. He is representative of the austerity agenda that has crippled many communities in countries like Ireland, and I believe that we would be better to have a different commission head.
The Fine Gael MEP, Mairéad McGuinness, says the motion of censure against Mr. Juncker is a sign of changing political times in the EU.
I believe it is probably going to be the state of the future, that we will continue to have these political grenades lobbed in on occasion to disrupt business, for people to make a strong political point. And it is the reality that we will have to deal with. I see it when I'm chairing the sessions. It is just a different political landscape. It is no different than the climate in Ireland politically at the moment, where there is so much division and uncertainty and insecurity around the future.
The Sinn Féin MEP Lynn Boylan says that media exaggeration and hysteria have distorted the true facts behind the recent anti-water protests in Jobstown. Ms. Boylan, who was speaking in the European Parliament in Strasbourg, says the media and others have focused too much attention on the protests in Talla.
I didn't like how Talla was portrayed by the media, but I do think that they blew it out of proportion completely. I mean, the footage that was shown of the protest in Jobstown was shown for days on end. It was debated on the radio stations, shown on the TV, but yet the first protest, where 100,000 people marched in Dublin, was hardly got a mention on the national airwaves. 100,000 people on the streets of Dublin, women, children, men, and not an incident of trouble, and that wasn't covered. So I think there's definitely an element there that are seeking out where there is an incident and are blowing it out of all proportion.
The President of the European Commission has been outlining details of a €300 billion investment plan for the EU. Jean-Claude Juncker recently gave the European Parliament more details of the EU investment fund. The European Commission's investment plan proposes leveraging 21 billion euro EU monies to generate a 315 billion euro investment boost for the EU. It's supposed to boost European economies and create job opportunities. The Fine Gael MEP Brian Hayes gave his views on the proposals.
The objective behind this Commission proposal, which is a radical plan, is to use existing funds to leverage private sector funds, and up to 315 billion or more over the next 3 or 4 years could be invested in the real economy in Europe, right the way across the 28 member states, which could make a big difference on the investment side. When you consider that since 2008, in Ireland, we've lost 20% of private sector investment. Now, a lot of that was down to the fact we went into a programme. But as we come out of the programme, we now need to see replenishing of that private sector investment. So I see this as one of the means through which we can improve investment in Ireland if we get the projects from the Irish government. So we need to work hard with the government to make sure we get those projects.
Pope Francis received a sustained standing ovation following his address to the European Parliament in Strasbourg recently. The pontiff delivered a very strong address, which was, at times, very critical of contemporary Europe. During his address, His Holiness compared Europe to that of an infertile grandmother who lacked vibrancy. He told MEPs that the great ideas that once inspired Europe have been replaced by the bureaucratic technicalities of its institutions. He was scathing about Europe's consumerists and what he called its unsustainable selfish lifestyles. And he pleaded for Europe to think more about the need for dignity, human rights and general humanity. The Fine Gael MEP Sean Kelly gave his reaction to the Pope's address.
People were very receptive to what he had to say because he told the truth. And the sustained standing ovation he got at the end, I have never seen it in the European Parliament. We'll probably never see it again. Because he did point out that Europe came from World War II, where it put people at the centre. He said we had kind of lost our way with people being pushed aside. He spoke about a consumer society, people being disposed of when they were no longer useful, about the disease of loneliness, and we needed to get back to human dignity. And I think most people would agree with that.
Yesterday was EU Day for Persons with Disabilities, and a project carried out at NUI Galway looks set to influence policy for the disabled in EU member states. The Disability Rights Expanding Accessible Markets, or DREAM project, has looked at ways of improving rights for disabled people. Funded by under the EU Framework 7 Fund, the project explored technology, employment access and general life matters for those with disabilities. Dr. Eleanor Flynn of NUI Galway, who headed the project, says the information collated will now go to the EU for inclusion in disability policy across the European Union.
So the information goes back to the EU Commission, and in fact the EU Commission had analysed our project and highlighted it as a success story within the research programme because they're quite, I think, excited about what they can do with the findings, as well as to the governments of the relevant member states, and they may be used as well as giving them to civil society and disabled people's organisations who can use them in their advocacy and lobbying efforts.
The introduction of a common corporate tax rate across the European Union is unlikely, according to a senior EU official. The comments came as Northern Ireland may be granted special powers to determine its own corporate tax rate, which would be different to other regions within the UK. Ireland's corporate tax rate of 12.5% has helped this country enormously in attracting high-profile foreign companies. Addressing a conference in Dublin recently, Heinz Zurek, who was the European Union Director General on Tax and Customs, said that a common EU corporate tax is unlikely, as all member states would have to agree to it.
I don't see this. First of all, we don't have this in any other place. We have a harmonized system of VAT, but the VAT rates differ in all the countries. So we have a minimum rate. And I can imagine that perhaps one day there is an agreement on a minimum rate, but this can only happen if all the member states would agree to do it.
One of the world's leading oceanographers says the waters off the west coast of Ireland have huge economic potential for this country and the globe. The comments were made at a special conference in Dublin Castle recently, where scientists from the US, Canada and the EU were discussing what's known as the Galway Statement. The Galway Statement is a major project which will map the terrain as well as plant and fish life in the Atlantic Ocean. Craig McLean of the US National Oceanic and Atmospheric Research Laboratory says Ireland is one of the leading countries in the world in ocean mapping, and it's a credit to the Irish people.
All of the submerged lands of Ireland have been mapped, and very few nations have done that so far. And we look forward to working in the mid-Atlantic and even the far and western parts of the Atlantic. But I think the leadership that Ireland has shown to completely map the submerged territories of your country is admirable, very respectable, and gives the Irish people firm information on how to manage the resources of the Irish territory.
Mag ik ook wel heel graag weten, maar toch blijft het altijd onrust. En dan komt de solventing. Vanaf dan heb ik maar één doel, nog mijn eigen stoel achter het huis.
From the Netherlands, that's Daniel Lohuis with a track called Achter die Huis.
This is Carmel O'Donoghue for Europe Today on 103.2 Dublin City FM. A Trinity researcher wins this year's Marie Sklodowska Curie Actions Prize. Shane Bergen, who is 34 years old and from Newbridge in County Kildare, was awarded the Communicating Science Prize for his eye-catching poster campaign about physics called Dart of Physics on the Dublin Dart. Shane's way of bringing science to places where people spend most of their time on the daily commute was deemed truly innovative. He created Dart of Physics to zap the curiosity of Dublin commuters with physics through interactive advertising. The European Parliament has called on EU member states and the European Commission to break down barriers to the growth of the EU's digital single market. They said that there was a need to prevent online companies from abusing dominant positions by enforcing EU competition rules and unbundling search engines from other commercial services. The digital single market could generate an additional €260 billion a year for the EU economy, as well as boosting its competitiveness, says the resolution, which was approved by 384 votes to 174. The Commission takes measures to ensure greater transparency. The European Commission this week committed to publishing information about who meets its political leaders and senior officials and to providing greater access to documents relating to negotiations for a transatlantic trade and investment partnership with the United States. Pope Francis visited the European Parliament in Strasbourg earlier this week, where he met with its president, Martin Schulz, before delivering a wide-ranging address to MEPs. This was the first time in 26 years that a sovereign pontiff had addressed the European Parliament. Safeguarding human dignity was a key theme of his address. Immigration, protecting the environment, and promoting human rights and democracy were among the topics highlighted in his speech. The EU reimburses €868 million to European farmers, including €27 million to Irish farmers. The Commission has recently adopted a regulation to reinstate monies that had been reduced from direct payments in 2014. The European Commission has decided to refer Ireland to the Court of Justice of the European Union for not properly applying the rules on fiscal marketing on fuel. On EU rules for fuels, fuel that can benefit from a reduced tax rate has to be marked by a coloured dye. Fishing vessels, for example, are allowed to benefit from fuel subject to a lower tax rate, but private boats must use fuel subject to a standard rate. Currently, Ireland breaches EU law by allowing the use of marked fuel for the purpose of private pleasure craft. Ireland has the third highest percentage of deaths from cancer. According to figures released this week by Eurostat, cancer was responsible for 30% of deaths recorded in Ireland in 2011. This is the third highest in Europe after the Netherlands at 33% and Slovenia at 31%. The Commission has paid €22 million to Liberia to strengthen public services and health related to Ebola. The EU has provided the €22 million to Liberia to help the country respond to the Ebola crisis and strengthen its macroeconomic situation. The money is part of the overall package of the €138 million of EU support to the countries that are affected by Ebola. If you're looking for a position in the European Parliament, listen up. The European Personnel Selection Office, EPSO, is to launch a competition to recruit assistants in the field of parliamentary works on Thursday, the 4th of December. All you have to do is check out the EPSO website on that date for further information. This is Carmel O'Donoghue for Europe Today on 103.2 Dublin City FM.
Broadcasting on 103.2, this is Dublin City FM.
Now you can follow Europe Today on Twitter.
NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg met with the new President of the European Council, Donald Tusk, at the headquarters of the Council in Brussels yesterday. The meeting took place only a few days into Mr. Tusk's new mandate. The two leaders discussed Russia's continued destabilization of Ukraine and their impact on Euro-Atlantic stability.
If we are to find a solution to the crisis, the Minsk agreement must be fulfilled. Every solution must be based on respect for Ukraine's independence, sovereignty and territorial integrity. Russia has a special responsibility here. It must withdraw from eastern Ukraine, stop supplying troops and equipment, allow for effective control of the border, and let the OSCE carry out its mission. The European Union fully supports the anti-ISIL coalition. I explained to Jens that the EU is working on a longer-term strategy for the region. This strategy will bring together the EU and member states and will also address the root causes of this regional crisis.
And Russia's actions continue to destabilize Ukraine and undermine Euro-Atlantic stability. Russia has violated fundamental principles that borders cannot be changed by force. Disputes should be settled by talks, not by tanks. And the era of spheres of influence is over. At the NATO summit in Wales, we agreed to stop the cuts in our defence budgets, gradually increase them when our economies recover, and to invest better by cooperating more. The European Council next year will be a crucial stepping stone to meeting this pledge. Thank you so much.
The UN Special Representative for Children and Armed Conflict and UNICEF welcomed the commitment of the European Parliament to end the recruitment and use of children and protect them from the impact of conflict. It is unacceptable that children continue to be recruited and used by armed forces, said UNICEF's Deputy Executive Director, Yoga Brandt. UNICEF appreciates the EU's efforts to promote and protect the rights of all children, especially those affected by armed conflict.
No, thank you very much. I think it's important to note that this is a partnership. And what UNICEF brings to the partnership is our presence at the field level. So we work both, you know, with governments concerned to help them build the capacity to deal with the issue of child soldiers. But obviously, we also work, you know, when children get demobilized to make sure that they get the support they need, the psychosocial support, you know, the catch-up education, and for children that are a little bit older, also the vocational opportunities to make sure that their reintegration into society is going well. And then we work together, of course, also to train the parties in the countries concerned, and on advocacy to actually help child recruitment from happening again.
Ooh. Yeah. Ah, yeah. Hoop. Sexy als ik dans. Ik heb geen goede moves, maar zie je niet dat ik precies weet wat ik doe? En ze kan het niet laten, nee, ze kan het niet laten, yeah, yeah. Weet je wat het is? Zij komt naar me toe. Ze vraagt me, ga je lekker? Wat ben je nou aan het doen? En ik kan het niet laten, nee, ik kan het niet laten. Zeg, weet je wat het is, baby? Ik voel me sexy als ik dans. Oh, 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 oh. Yeah. Oh, oh, oh. Sexy als ik dans. Eh, 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 eh. Ik voel me sexy als ik dans. Oh, 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 oh. Yeah. Ik voel me sexy als ik dans. Eh, 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 eh. Oeh, weet je wat het is? Ik heb ze al gehoord. Die goede tips, maar ze werkte nooit. En toch kan je het niet laten. Nee, je kan het niet laten. Oh yeah. Ergens in haar blik zie ik dat er iets, oh, iets veranderd is. En ik geloof mijn ogen niet. Ze kan het niet laten. Ze springt op de tafel. Daar gaat ze. Daar gaat ze. Ze kan het niet laten. Ze springt op de tafel. En daar gaat ze. Yeah. Ze zegt, weet je wat het is, baby? Ik voel me sexy als ik dans. Oh, 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 oh. Yeah. Oh, oh, oh. Sexy als ik dans.
Ik voel me sexy als ik dans. Oh, 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 oh. Yeah. Ik voel me sexy als ik dans. Als ik dans, steek ik mijn hand op. Ga mijn voeten zomaar de verkeerde kant op. Als jij danst, gooi jij je haar los. Swingen je heupen zo lekker dat het een gevaar wordt. Als ik dans, steek ik mijn hand op. Ga mijn voeten zomaar de verkeerde kant op. Als jij danst, gooi jij je haar los. Swingen je heupen zo lekker dat het een gevaar wordt. Ik zeg, weet je wat het is, baby? Ik voel me sexy als ik dans. Oh, 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 yeah. Oh, 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 sexy als ik dans. Ik voel me sexy als ik dans. Oh, ik voel me sexy als ik. Ik voel me sexy als ik dans. Ik voel me sexy als ik dans. Steek ik mijn hand op, ga mijn voeten zo hard op. Ik voel me sexy als ik dans. Gooi jij je haar los, swingen je heupen zo lekker dat het te gevaar wordt. Als ik dans, steek ik mijn hand op, ga mijn voeten zo hard op. Ik voel me sexy als ik dans. Gooi jij je haar los, swingen je heupen zo lekker dat het te gevaar wordt. Als ik dans.
That's Dutch singer Nielsen and his song Sexy Als Ik Dans, which is riding high in the Belgian and Dutch charts this week. Well, I'm afraid that's all we have time for. I hope you've enjoyed the programme. Don't forget, if you want to get in contact with us, give us a ring on 865 8020. That's 865 8020. Or you can text us on 087 977 1032. And don't forget to check out our support website platform, which is europetoday.ie. That'll have a podcast of today's programme and links to the various items that we've mentioned as well. Join us again here on 103.2 Dublin City FM at the same time next week and your programme Europe Today.